Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I am glad that you are able to join us as we continue through what is a little mini series in this podcast as we find ourselves in episode 44 today, but we are in the middle of, I guess it would be part five, of looking at hope in the dark and what it means for us when we go through hard times. What do trials look like? And more importantly, how we react to trials. Through that, we've looked at several different things, including why we actually go through trials, why we find ourselves, why would God be putting us through this? Really, the number one thing that we see is that God is refining us. And I think one of the more beautiful things that we actually see out of that is, one, God promises that we will go through trials and there will be persecution. So we know that we're doing something right when something when there is a bit of hardship that's happening. The other thing is that he's constantly refining us to make us better. And we've talked a bit about what it means for us to aspire to be better no matter what place we are in our own personal walk with Jesus. Now, we have been in James chapter 1 for the last 4 weeks. And I know if for those who are counting, and I know there's probably some out there, that we have only made it to verse 5. Well, we're still in verse 5 today. So we're going bit by bit through, but there's just so much that's happening in this area that we need to just focus on it and go bit by bit through it. The question of, again, asking ourselves, where do we go from here? Okay, I've got a trial in my life. Where do we go from here is really what today is about. Taking a look at some pieces of scripture, but also saying, what are some tangible things that I can do? And yes, there's different ways in which we can react to adversity in our lives. One, we can soak up the scriptures. Favorite thing that I love is camping out in the book of Psalms, especially if you're going through suffering. We have to be in the Word every day regardless, but there's something about the Psalms, and I love it that Hebrew culture just dives deep in the book of Psalms. You've got kings, you've got peasants just talking with God, and they lay absolutely everything out on the table. The good, the bad, the ugly, they let God know what they're going through in that moment. And there's something about just being very honest with God of where you are. The other thing was, you know, to declare your doubts, much like in the book of Job. A great example, even in the Psalms, is Psalm 10:1, which begins rather abruptly saying, "Why, O Lord, do you stand so far off? You know, why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Here's a writer who's definitely struggling with tragedy and hardship in their lives. And then the other one is really just saying, you know, worship God while he works out his will in your life. And that's the tough one for us as well, because we know what we want. So allowing God to work on what he wants in our life when it may be contrary to what we want in our life can be a very difficult thing for us to go through as we wrestle with God from what he wants as opposed to what we want. I had read a very good article. John Piper had written it, which said, Don't Waste Your Cancer. And he sat down the night before his cancer surgery and he reviewed 10 ways to make sure we don't waste any pain that we have. And he came up with 10 different things. And really a lot of it, while he was going through cancer, we can change that word from cancer to hardship, and his statements very much ring true. If I've got a few of them here, where it says, "You will waste your hardship if you do not believe it is designed for you by God." All right. You will not waste your hardship if you do not believe it is designed for you by God, personally designed for you by God. It says, "You will waste your hardship if you believe it is a curse, not a gift. You will waste your hardship if you seek comfort from your odds rather than from God. You will waste your hardship if you refuse to think about death. You will waste your hardship if you think that beating hardship means staying alive rather than cherishing Christ. There's a focus that we can see that's happening here. You will waste your hardship if you let it drive you into solitude instead of deepening your relationship with manifest affection. You will waste your hardship if you grieve as those who have no hope. You will waste your hardship if you treat sin as casually as before. You will waste your hardship if you fail to use it as a means of witness to the truth and the glory of Christ. Now, you can see what John Piper does there is actually take what is something bad and say, how has God designed that for me? How is God going to use me in this? Does it make the hardship easier? Maybe not the pain, maybe not the struggle, but you can look further down the road and see that there is hope. There's a reason why this is happening, whatever it may be. I love the one of you may waste your hardship if you treat sin as casually as before. Because whether you see it in the movies, you especially see it in the movies where someone calls out to God or calls out for help and makes that ultimatum. If you just give me this, then I promise I will never and fill in the blank. And here we see John Piper is at this point of where there's some serious hardship. And we may be in a place where there is some serious hardship. And maybe that's that time where we can have that reckoning of the sin in our life. We can't treat it as casually before as we come face to face with death. Or as he says, even earlier, face to face, instead of face to face with death, face to face with Christ. Because hardship, you waste your hardship if you refuse to think about death and what comes from it. Out of all of this is kind of this interesting area of theology that we don't really talk about a lot, which is the theology of suffering. It was A.W. Tozer, and you hear me quote him a lot on Sunday mornings and because there's a lot of great quotes. But he said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, right? And that is very much as we go through suffering, you know, what is coming to our mind when we think about God? And so as we take a look at today, right, we've got several things that we can react with, whether it's soaking up the scripture, where it's declaring our own doubts, whether it's worshiping God while he works out his will in his life, whether it's developing that theology of suffering, that's saying part of God's nature, you know, and in his promises, is this. When asked what we should do to prepare for evil and suffering, you know, what are we going to answer? Most Christians lack kind of grounding in God's attributes, including his sovereignty, his omnipotence, omniscience, his justice, and his patience. We like to focus on the areas that only deal with us. We dare not wait for a time of crisis to learn perspective, right? Don't be content with to be hand-fed by others. Here, the challenge is for us to do our own reading and study and read good books and talk about all things God and see develop more about knowledge of the nature of who God is. And the theology of suffering, we read this in the book of Job. We don't touch upon a lot of theology in Old Testament, but rather the very nature, in many ways, the nature of God and who God is and his attributes. I think as we look at this, really the underlying issue is that we overrate health and underrate holiness in many ways. For us, striving to become more holy sometimes takes a backseat to striving to become more healthy in our physical lives. Don't get me wrong; it is very good to be healthy, and yet at the same time, We need to be developing a strong theology and knowledge of who God is and understanding God's nature, pursuing holiness. I think one of the things that also comes in how we deal with this, and again, today is all about dealing with these like tangible ways in which we can deal with hardship. The other one of them is not to unplug, or you will really unravel. Now, unplug these days means something along the lines of don't charge my phone, don't charge my computer, don't go on Zoom. You know, that kind of seems like a nice thing these days. But it's talking about the relationships we have. There are people who will disconnect because they're angry with God about something that's happened in their life. Maybe you've been in that place, right, where you are angry at God. So you know what? I'm not going to talk to him for a while and give him the silent treatment. And my appeal to you today is not to unplug from church when you're hurting, not to unplug from God when you're hurting. Hebrews 10:25 offers that warning to each of us. Let us not give up in meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Meaning it's easy to get out of the habit of going to church or gathering with one another. And once you establish a habit of going, you will hang in there even when hard times come. One of the quotes I came across, I don't know who it was, said, make Sunday attendance a habit so when you can't praise, you will continue the habit anyways. Right? So when you can't, so you make gathering together as a community and praising God as a community a habit. So on the Sunday when you're away, it feels like something's missing, but you continue to praise. And so I'm a drummer at heart, and I always found it tough when I was not, when I would go to another church, on a vacation day, and I'd go to church that was not mine. And where I came from, I played the drums every Sunday from the day that I started there till the day that I left there, every single Sunday, you know, maybe with a few off here or there. But when I was, because I was the only drummer. Now, the music starts at a church that I'm visiting, and immediately I'm the guy at the back who's air drumming. I want to be drumming. I want to be up on stage. You know, that's what I do. You know, I take that into the perspective of just attending church life and being a part of praise, being a part of that larger community, right? When you're away, you want something. You want to feel that something is missing, not just praising one another, but having that support system. And so that's a very important thing that we need to tangibly do. You know, we don't unplug. And if you do, you find yourself that you're going to quickly unravel. And it's not about giving God the silent treatment. The next thing that we see as well is serving others who are suffering. Have you ever noticed how putting others helps us deal with our own problems many times? When God comforts us, he wants to use what he teaches us to help others. Remember, we're going through that refinement process. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 4 says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. We can't save people, and we can't always solve their problems, but we can serve them, and we can deliver hope to them, whether that it is the hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Right? We have an ability to serve others. We may not be able to solve their problems, but we can sure come alongside them. I think the tough thing, you know, and now I'll get to another one that is equally as tough. And I'll go through these all at the end, just again, without detail, just in case you're having a tough time keeping up with this, is submitting to God's sovereignty. Look at Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go onto the heights. Habakkuk holds on to the fact that God is sovereign even in the tough times, which refers to his unlimited power. It also refers to his absolute control. You know, a deer is swift and sure-footed and can scamper up hills and mountains and find safety and freedom even on rocky paths and on the most difficult ground. And in here we have that question, right? Is, are we going to be able to submit to God knowing that even though, you know, we can't discount the importance of sorrow and suffering in our lives, we can still, even as we go through this, rise above our own circumstances because we submit to the fact that God is sovereign and that God is in control. Now, it's so, I don't want to say it's cliche, but it's so easy to just say, well, okay, well, God is in control as you're going through something tough. But look what it's saying here. It's saying the sovereign Lord is my strength, right? Sovereign is very much giving that attribute of God. Yes, the God of control, the God of unlimited power is my strength. The real focus here is the strength that God gives, not the attribute of God, right? Strength is coming out of the attribute. He makes my feet like the deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. And again, through those difficult paths. The fact that Habakkuk is holding on to the fact that God is all-powerful and has absolute control, that's where his strength comes from. So if we know, and this is what I love about Scripture, is it tells us what the outcome is if we trust in something, right? We know that if we trust that God is sovereign, then we know that the natural outflow will be strength for whatever we're going through. The other thing in this too is being able to force ourselves to think about God's faithfulness. I don't know about you, but whenever tough times hit, it's very easy for me to actually start drifting into more contemplative thought, right? Why is this happening? The prophet Jeremiah in his writings are filled with all sorts of why questions as he lists his grievances with God. But when he's finished, he forced himself to think about what is true. Lamentations is one of the great passages where we see this happen, especially in chapter 3, 19 to 23, which is a very famous passage on the suffering. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast with me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think as we go from here, the importance that we have to look out for is to understand that where we are, God has a solution to match your suffering. But I have to deliberately choose to claim his promise. Let me say that again, is that God has a solution to match my suffering. But I have to deliberately choose to claim his promise. And part of that is saying, is us being able to accept what cannot be changed and allow God to change you. Even though your circumstances may not change, God can use them to change you. And this is that refinement process that we've talked so much about. And the sooner we do this, the easier it is, allows us to let the bitterness go. It's very easy to become bitter at God through hard times, right? Hebrews 12:15 gives us a strong warning about how bad bitterness can be, where it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Too many times we speak as if we were involuntarily overwhelmed and had no choice but to be bitter or to be angry and no choice to be hostile. It's better to say I could give in to anger, but by God's grace, I will choose a higher road. I could turn away from God, but by God's grace, I will not do it. And I really believe that some of this stuff that we've looked at here, and I know it's, well, I think we've covered, you know, a good amount of tangible ways in which we can deal with hardship. From the simple ones, which we probably say, well, that's a Sunday school answer. Sometimes it needs to be reiterated. From soaking up the scriptures, to declaring our doubts, to worshiping God while he works out his will in our life, right? And realizing it's God's will. To being able to develop and wrestle with that theology of suffering that we read in scripture. The big one that we looked at, of course, was not to unplug, to stay connected. That really stops you from unraveling. And if you're not going through something, or if you've been through something, there's that picture of serving others who are suffering, knowing that you can come alongside someone, and God has made you better through a refinement process, and maybe you can speak some truth into someone else's life. And so a lot of the things that we've looked at today are ways in which we can tangibly live this stuff out. And my hope is that as we continue even to next week, we're able to be in a place where we can really say, what is God's purpose in our actual problems? God loves to bring out his purposes through our problems, and really show and point us to where he's leading us. And you know what? I got some news for you out there who've been counting the verses that we got through in James. We're moving on, all right? And we've got a great passage that I want to look at next week at God's purpose, larger picture, right? Not just in the moment, but God's larger purpose as he refines us. And so I think it'll be a great week. So thank you so much for joining me this week. Let me take time and end with prayer, just as you may be listening and going through some of this stuff right now and need that reassurance that God is there, need someone to come alongside you. And maybe this is even prompting you to come alongside someone else and serve them in a way which can help them through the refinement process that God may be leading them in a season. So let me just pray and then we'll finish. God, it's tough sometimes for us to go through hardships, to go through trials. But God, we know you're at work in our lives, in the life of your church. Our prayer is that we can focus on those attributes of who you are, the promises that you've made, and the hope that come from them. As we look at your attributes, God, we see what flows out of it as we start to trust in who you are. And I pray that strength will come out of knowing that you are a sovereign God. I pray that bitterness will be taken away, anger will be taken away, hostility will be taken away as we go through hardship. And our prayer today is that we approach this week in a way where we know we are going through a refinement process, or we can be helping somebody go through a refinement process. And we can use the tangible ways in which we've learned to see your kingdom grow and to help affect others who may be going through affliction. And so we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your sovereignty and who you are. And we just pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me this week. I'm looking forward to next week as we continue along this topic. But until then, take care. Have a great week. And I will see you next time.